Welcome to Savage Starlight, the officially unofficial podcast for Last of Us on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And tonight we're talking about the episode we just watched, which is Season 1, Episode 3, Long, Long Time. Aaron, this was not the song that I expected. When I hear the words long, long time, what song do you think of?
John Williams' Star Wars main theme song?
Fair. For me, it's Rocket Man. Elton John's Rocket Man. All right. But yeah, Linda Ronstadt's not in my wheelhouse here. What do you think of this episode?
I mean, obviously, it's really good. I think it's a little bit of a curveball from maybe what you're expecting if you're just a fan of the show and you're like wanting to see the further adventures of Joel and Ellie. Or if you're a video game fan, it certainly was a wild pitch, but I really liked it because this took what was essentially a joke in the game and turned it into a beautiful standalone episode that kind of subverted the joke. And like, well, what if it was actually not, you know, what if Bill wasn't the butt of some kind of, you know, purely collectible, discoverable joke that the players have a grim chuckle before they move on to their next destination. I thought Nick Offerman was great. You know, there's a lot of gameplay, you know, even though this isn't really anywhere near a gameplay episode of this, the equivalent chapter in the game. There's still a lot of references. Still no Savage Starlight. I really thought we might get one in the gas station.
Ellie's eyes open up and real wide.
She lit up and was like, oh man, I can't believe. I'm like, yeah, she's good. Nah, fuck it. It's Mortal Kombat. Yeah. I really liked it. What about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a really beautiful episode of television. It is a big departure from the storyline that we've been on, I think. It's kind of just a big tangent. So I'm a little worried that people are going to not appreciate it for that reason. It's a big change from the video game. And I'm worried that people aren't going to appreciate it for that reason. But man, if you look at just the facts as they lay, like just everything that happened in this episode, it was beautiful. It was really well done. It took me on a journey of like someone who is just concerned with survival to someone who now sees something to live for in the world. And then, man, when that is taken away, what do you do? And I felt every moment of that.
And there's still plenty of character development between Ellie and Joel. You can kind of see, you know, their characters developing, their relationship developing. You know, Joel showing the futility of trying to put rules under teenagers that you can't really enforce, and maybe a wrong-headed, stupid to begin with.
At the end, those are a joke, right? Like, she's going to break rules 1, 2, 3, and maybe even come up with another one
I'm pretty sure by the end of this episode, like, her housing the gun in her, I mean, I think that's all really well done. So say we talk, you tended to call it a bottle episode, right? You know, you can't get Pedro and Bell in one, so you're just gonna like get Nick Offerman and
spans 20 years. Yeah,
right. You're gonna get him and some other guy in a farmhouse with a B unit and you're gonna do this thing to Pat. But like I again, you got a lot of good Joel and Ellie. Mm-hmm. And the story that they told, it's like it filled in a lot of the, you know, blanks. Like, this is the third step Martin reveal. It's like, if you didn't get the oatmeal Bisquick pancake birthday cake hints, you know, Joel came out and spelled it for you. Mm-hmm. You still got to see a little bit more of, like, you know, how did civilization fall? You know, there is those really uncomfortable scenes of the mass graves with the, like, the children in it, and then flashing back to see all that happen, and that tied in, you know, as soon as, like, I was like, wow, we're gonna see, like, the fall, you know, it's kind of interesting. And then it goes down to show Nick Offerman in his bunker and him chuckling about the one world order jackboot fucks aren't going to get him today. It's and mm-hmm. then yeah, it's just, I don't know, there's like this it made the guy, like, watching Nick Offerman work made, you know, a lot of the kind of tongue-in-cheek complaints I had about the way the survivors act in The Walking Dead. Textbook, looting perfection, hitting the gas yards, the propane gas yards, Home Depot, get those things before anyone else pick it through, you know, fortify your shit, grow carrots. It was all... It wasn't quite barley equals intellect, but it was damn close. It was really enjoyable.
Sure. Yeah, boy, that's a deep cut. The thing I love about it most, I guess, is the structure of it is actually really good. Like, you look at it and you can say, well, this is just a total departure from the continuing storyline in 2023 that we, you know, really want to see. But if you look at this, what happens with Bill and Frank over the course of this episode, it's really kind of a blueprint for what could potentially happen with Joel and Ellie in the future, right? It's, you take a man who is only concerned about survival. He calls himself a survivalist. He goes on a supermarket sweep, right? And he hits all the hardware stores. Like, his first concern when the world goes to shit is, this is my moment, right? Like, this is what I've been prepping for. I'm going to go get all the hardware. I'm going to be the loner. No one's going to come into my bubble. Fuck it. Fuck everybody. I'm glad they died, like he says at the end.
And I hated everyone.
By the end of the episode, he's had someone penetrate that bubble, and now he's learned to live again, essentially, right? And I think that could be a blueprint going forward for Joel as well. Because when the prepper says they respect you, I think it's because they see something kindred in you, right? And Joel is definitely along those lines.
This isn't an official complaint. This is me wondering. This is a meta complaint. That note seems so heavy handed. That's like, you know, you and me, Joel, we're the same. We're just here to protect people and to save them. Save the one person that needs to be saved in all the world. Right. Like, maybe escort her across the country if that's what requires it. And you should do this with Tess. And like, there's this, like, this, like, Tess is a placeholder for the new person. It's like, damn, I felt like it was really, really, really leading the audience down a path that I didn't. It felt like the show was being a little too familiar. It's like putting its hands where it shouldn't on me.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But I want to see what Joel's strawberry is, if you can track that analogy, right? Like, because to me, like, the moment that Bill started appreciating life again was the strawberry patch. Like, he had been with this person for a long while. What was it, like 10 years or something?
I think total 10, because then the flash forward where, you know, Frank had cancer or something wrong with him was another 10 years past. Or wait.
Because
Bill got shot and then there's another 10 year jump and you see the guy in a wheelchair and I thought that was going to be Bill. But no, it's Frank, you know.
I thought maybe Bill died when they start to fade to black. He like just goes slack and they fade to black. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and they kept on showing the frustration that Frank had early on with Bill. And I'm like, I kept on waiting to see where the show was going to put things back on the rails, you know, where we get.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They just, you know.
They do, but there's an extra little twist in there, which I really appreciate.
There is.
I like
that. Yeah. It's like I said, I don't want to talk about it too much tonight because there's a whole, you know, we could probably do some spoiler stuff in the main podcast. And it's not anything a spoiler. It's just, I just want to make sure that there isn't, you know, it's tough to talk about stuff spoiler free while we're in the moment. And by the way, appreciate everybody stopping by to talk about this episode with us. If there are video game players among us, and I know there are. Make sure we're careful that we don't spoil our show only watching compatriots, because I know we're really excited to talk about how this is different, how it's the same. I do wonder, I had the same thought of like super hardcore video game fans, what do they make of this episode? Because it's a pretty big departure in the sense that it kind of runs a giant circular route pattern outside the main plot of the story before it kind of comes back. And I can see a lot of people being like, well, that was essentially a 10 minute episode with 55 minutes of gloss that we didn't need. And we got screwed out of seeing a lot of Bill Trap action, you know, but I don't know. I feel like they paid that off. Seeing that Raider squad just getting like auto shredded by Bill's defenses were really fun. Really fun.
My only complaint about that sequence, because it was kind of awesome, Bill's just standing in the middle of the street, no cover. Bill, come on, man.
Yeah, those Hollywood guys' idea of how survivalists would do at a gunfight behind a fortified defense? Is that just...
I don't know. Maybe he
some
thought
kind
he,
of stupid Rambo thing. I don't know.
Maybe they thought he couldn't. They couldn't see him through the fire, like a headlight kind of effect. Yeah. I don't know. But you just
because you shouldn't
take a shot.
Yeah, you shouldn't have taken a bullet at all, man. You should wait. You should let the fence do the heavy lifting, and from concealed cover and darkness, you know, pick off the guys that are being just a little too smart, you know?
Yeah, ultimately, it didn't matter because he didn't die there. Although I will say, what the fuck is with them and, like, glancing gut shots? Like, every single person has been shot in the lower left torso. Every single one.
That's a good question because that's not a safe place to be shot.
Sure,
there's a lot of chance for sepsis and shit and, you know, hitting major organs and... spinal cords and whatnot. No, you're right. That's I don't know. The love handle is just a great. It's the new shoulder. Love handle's the new shoulder.
You're right. Love handle is the new shoulder. if we titled these episodes, that should have been the title. Then there's no confusion about Elton John and Linda Ronstadt. Love handle's the new shoulder.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
There's also a lot of
ridiculous stuff. I got one more bone to pick.
Okay.
When they come back 10 years later after that scene and Frank is in the wheelchair, he's clearly got like some kind of like maybe bone cancer, maybe like MS, something that
who knows.
Yeah. Has like half paralyzed him. these guys look fucking old. Like, those 10 years were rough. And it, in contrast to what they did with Pedro, where they just, like, salt and peppered his hair a little bit, it's a joke. Right. And that was 20 years. That was a 20-year time jump. This 10-year time jump has not been kind to these dudes.
I still think Pedro is on the right side of 30 in the flashback, you know, in the 20 years ago. So, like, you know, you don't age as much from 30 to 50 as I think you do from 50 to 70.
Fair.
But yeah, whatever they spent, whatever they saved out of the Pedro budget, they put it in Nick Offerman, because he did look like an old fucker for real.
Yeah.
They dolled him up right. I really enjoyed the, because this is something that was made, a lot of it was made out of the game. Those Katrina style door markings, you know, that like FEMA goes through, and they put that red cross, and it was the number of like people expected, the number of people, survivors, dead bodies, and something else about the thing's structural rating. And you see that throughout the game. And I thought it's like the way that they've established that this, you know, like these people have left their homes. The survivors, like if there wasn't room in the camps, you know, you were suddenly not made a survivor. It's I always thought it's like when you're playing a game, it always gave me a little chill when you go across, you see these like, you know, rows and rows of houses or apartments or whatever, and they all have those markings on it. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's this, what, this is an empty city. This is a city that you know, a lot of families died, a lot of people died.
Yeah.
And I got similar feelings when I was seeing them marking it on that door. I thought that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of notes. I'm looking.
Oh, Anna Torv came back, which I was happy to see. She was looking surprisingly good. Those first 6 years must not have been too rough.
Oh, right. Yeah, I made the same thing as like they really spiffed up for that dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice getting to see her without a busted eye. Because I feel like the whole time she had that big shiner.
Sure. And Bill with the loaded and cocked gun on the table at all times. Mm-hmm. That was really, it's really funny, too. And the other thing is, like, on an Ellie frustration o-meter. Oh, my God. Her going down in that hole without telling anybody. She did a lot of stupid shit in this episode.
Yeah.
Going down that hole, and then the clicker made this, or it sounds what a clicker. It wasn't a clicker, but it's this fucked up situation where I guess I gotta say I don't know how the zombies work in this world, because like I don't know how that guy lives. I don't know how long. Maybe this is a recent collapse. It didn't look like it.
Yeah, it feels like it had to have been an hour ago. Maybe, I don't know.
Is a little bit more science fiction than I was expecting. And I wasn't sure exactly what they... I guess it's clear that Ellie's got this morbid fascination with killing. And, you know, Joel has this over her head that, you know, he's got so much more experience. And, like, this was an easy way for her to get experience, you think? But...
Maybe? I don't know.
Between her doing that and the gun hiding and all that stuff, it's, like I said, Ellie can really be frustrating in a way... You know, willful teenagers are, and she's kind of like borderline feral on top of that, and the mouth on her. Oh my God!
Yeah, just nonstop with the questions and the picking,
the needling, and the pushing, and the boundary testing. And
I did like when she jumps down in that cellar or the basement, whatever it is. She immediately makes her escape path, which I appreciated. I'm like, okay, she's not totally dumb. She's not going to go exploring and then have to run back to the exit and go, oh, God, I didn't prepare my exit. So now I can't get out. So that was a little bit smart. But yeah, you're right. She's, you know, she's a risk taker. She doesn't. I wonder if she sees the same dangers that Joel sees. She probably doesn't. Right. Even though she's seen the clicker. She's like, oh, well, maybe that was a one-off thing and they're not everywhere.
But it's not just that, but like, you know, like if you're young, you just really don't think about the life being fragile. It just doesn't really occur to you.
Right.
You know, the idea, not just death, but major dismemberment, just pain, all that stuff. It's, yeah. So she's got all that plus the pre-apocalypse kind of. I do wonder how she has a friend that knows anything about Mortal Kombat, too.
Yeah. Maybe like
they find a game guide and just like really into to Mortal Kombat lore, or has she befriended some 36-year-old?
Honestly, it kind of feels like going back to the 80s in a way, or I guess the early 90s in a way. It's like, didn't have the internet, everything you heard about video games and people like, you know, you could do all this one special move where like it'll rip the spine just totally out of this person, or it'll make Liu Kang nude or something.
If you beat Metroid
in
faster than 8 hours, Samus Aran will put on a bikini. Bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit. No way.
It felt like that to me, where like they had heard about some magical thing called video games. And yeah, they were just passing that information around at the school, the Fedra school.
What else do we want to talk about? Because I think we got people probably itching to discuss things.
There's one other thing that I think I want to talk about, which is I'm a little worried about this episode and the treatment that it's going to get from a contingent of the game that is maybe less than open to exploring sexuality.
Oh, yeah? You think?
Because this is... So that part of the game is, or that part of the episode is very much the game. It was definitely hinted, if not outright, just said that Bill and Frank had a thing. They were lovers. Mm-hmm. And, but that was kind of it. It was just, it wasn't like dwelled on like this episode does. And I'm worried that like people who were like willing to overlook that part of the game and be like, oh, well, you know, it's a cool prepper thing and I'm running around trying to get batteries and that's awesome, might not take to this episode.
I don't know. I will say that most of the big fan sites built up around The Last of Us has kind of like, if there was any element of people that'd be like, oh, you know, gay issues, gross. They've kind of been, I think, weeded out by The Last of Us 2 and kind of like the uproar and debate that went under that. Like, you know, if you're the, like, I don't think that there's like unresolved issues of that in like the Last of Us subreddit. So,
okay.
And kind of Naughty Dog pushed back pretty hard. It's like, oh, you know, if you didn't like Bill and Frank, well, there's whole, we're going to make big textual issues out of queer representation going forward. So I don't know. I doubt it'd be huge. And it's like HBO, you know, broadly speaking, their base bread and butter. So
sure. I just don't want this thing to get review bombed.
I think if anything, the one thing is like, I think gamers complained, it's like it deviated from the game and it didn't further the plot. It was an unskippable cutscene. It was an unskippable 50-minute cutscene of something they weren't interested in.
Yeah, but a lot of people are going to be like, it deviated from the game, when what they really mean is it settled in and told a story about a gay man. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Now, I know how gamers work. I know how it works.
Well, and I will say that, like, it is interesting to see just, like, regular old dudes being... God, regular old dudes being gay.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, like, and this is like across Hollywood that like whenever relationships are depicted, they're usually extremely beautiful person. Not that Nick Offerman's not a beautiful person, but these guys are just, like I said, there's dudes. Dudes loving dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's not...
Got body hair, little chub.
A
little chubby. Yeah. Maybe needs to get out and run with Frank a little bit more than he's doing.
Thing that he was concerned about was not a problem because Frank caught the fuck up. Fast.
Yeah, well, it's not the years, it's the miles. Mileage, like Indy said.
Apparently.
What else? What else we got?
I think that's it. I got a lot of other just like little things, but we'll talk about those Tuesday.
We are going to get to the live chat responses here very soon, but that is exclusively for our club members. So this is where your non-club member journey ends. If you would like to get access to our live recordings and the other half of the Instant Take podcast, Instant Talk podcast, it's real simple. Just go to support.baldmove.com and click on the club link. If you want to send us feedback for the Thursday podcast, it'll be out Thursday. You can send that to TLOU, TLOU@baldmove.com. And we'll, of course, have our full featured, full scene-by-scene episodic breakdown of the episode out Tuesday. So support.baldmove.com if you want to get access to the fully leaded Instant Talk, Instant Take podcast. And we'll see you on Tuesday if not.